Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to my podcast. My guest of this episode is Jeremy Branham. He is the play-by-play voice of the Houston Cougars basketball team, and he has a radio show on 97.5 ESPN in Houston. Canes in Houston Friday night at 7:15 over in Kansas City. He has a few moments to join us now. Jeremy, good afternoon. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to the conversation.
Here's what sticks out at me when I look at Houston. The thing I look at when I watch them is how well they do defensively in second halves. What do you think that is? How did they shut down a very good Auburn team by having them go just 4-24 in the second half from three land?
Yeah, I mean, they're a good defense really all the time, but I think you have seen that in the tournament where they've kind of locked in defensively in the second half. In Northern Kentucky, a game that they were able to, never trail in the second half, ended up winning by double figures. And then the Auburn game, the most recent, was the one that was, the defense was elite. Only gave up four made shots in that second half. Scored around 20 points Auburn did in that second half. I think most of it has to do with, one, the Cougars are just good defensively. If you look at the Auburn game, they didn't have their best defensive first half.
No, 41-31, down 10 at half.
Yeah, and Kelvin Sampson mentioned in his post-game press conference said that they just were kind of lacking their normal principles. They were doing some things that were uncharacteristic of what they asked their players to do. Talked about in the second half, said, it really wasn't anything that we changed. It was more of a change of attitude to be a little bit more sound with the fundamentals of our defense, the principles of our defense. And then, they did it. As you mentioned, held to Auburn just four made shots. Were unbelievable defensively in the second half that allowed for the Cougars to come back and win that game going away.
Yeah, one of my co-hosts on my Twitter spaces in basketball, Matty Icy, had a few questions. One, Houston allows the second lowest three-point field goal percentage in the nation. Now, I think you probably answered it, but what makes them so good at guarding that perimeter? And what's going to be the key in this game to deal with that, especially when you have to deal with guys like Wong and Pack in this game?
Yeah, a lot of it is just what they do in terms of ball screens, things like that. And it's a commitment to defending it. They take pride. We're going to try to take that away from you, especially the good shooters. They might be a little bit more selective with poor shooters. If you're a poor three-point shooter, they might sag off of you a little bit more. Whereas if you're a good three-point shooter, they're going to try to chase you off the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it does have to do as well where the basketball is at for the offensive team. Do they use screens? Will the Cougars hedge off of those screens? Will they force the ball out of your hand? So it kind of depends on where the basketball is at in relation to the floor, who has it, if they're a good three-point shooter or a bad three-point shooter, because it matters. If it's a good three-point shooter, Cougars don't want them taking threes. If it's a guy who shoots 10% from behind the three-point line, not that he has many of those, they're more content to let that guy beat them. So there's a lot of variables that go into play. As far as defending Miami, I'm interested to see, what the game plan is going to be. I don't know. But you look at Miami and some of the mismatches that they can provide. You basically have four guards. I think Jordan Miller, one of the biggest mismatches in college basketball.
Yes.
Somebody who can play the four, rebounds it really well from that position,
mm-hmm.
But then hits 35% of his threes. So that's going to make it difficult. How do the bigs defend the perimeter? There's not a lot of four guys in the country that can shoot that consistently from behind the three-point line. Miller can. So I think that's one of the things I'm more interested in for Friday's matchup, is to see how the Cougars defend him and defend all of the guards for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, definitely Houston plays with a slower tempo, as we all know, and we like to trap and hard hedge off those ball screens that you mentioned. How do you see the Houston guards handling those type of screens, especially when screens like from Norchad, O'Meara, our center, and then all our other guys?
Oh, you're talking about the defensive side?
Yes, on the defensive side. Houston plays with a slower tempo, and we like to trap. How do you see Houston guards handling those traps that Miami likes to dish out there, as we saw in the first two games?
It depends on the personnel. A lot of times, if you have some high pick and rolls, things like that, Houston will hedge out of it. They don't really trap out of it. Some people confuse it sometimes with a trap, because the Cougars will pressure the ball when you do it. they're not necessarily looking for turnovers or steals or anything like that. A lot of times they get them, you know, just because of the pressure that they have there. But it's more to get the ball out of the guard's hands to start, you know, forcing the basketball to move and get it out of a primary playmaker's hand. So, you know, I don't know what the matchups are going to be. Like, I don't know who's going to be opening up against Pack or who's going to be opening up against Wong. But I would imagine if you see some pick and rolls, things like that, you'll see, you know, the Cougars try to hedge and get the ball moving, you know, get it out of some of the playmakers' hands.
Yeah, Houston's a very undersized team. I've noticed a couple of their players. I mean, there's no bigger player than 6'8". They are one of the best offensive rebounding. What makes them so good at crashing the boards on the offensive end?
Probably Kelvin Sampson demanding that from his bigs, especially. You know, it's a prerequisite. There's a few prerequisites to play Cougar basketball. You got to defend a certain way. You have to be somebody that can be trustworthy with the way that they play defense. And then you have to play with an incredibly high motor and go after a lot of offensive rebounds. So a lot of it's just the demand that you better do this if you want to see minutes. You better get on the glass. And then the Cougars have good rebounders. They're not overly big at their position, you're right. But Juwan Roberts is a very good rebounder. It's really been one of the strengths of his, you know, the style of his play. Jairus Walker, who is, you know, a brute, he's going to be a lottery pick next year.
Yes, I've read that.
Has incredible athleticism, has a very big body. Might not be the tallest, but has a very big body, good speed, gets to it. And then Tremont Mark, who, you know, is, you know, our guard, you know, our three, but is long. You know, he's got long arms. He likes to crash the glass as well. So it's more of a commitment to it, and then having some good rebounders in there as well.
Yeah, the one thing, the matchup I'm going to watch, Jeremy, in this game, to be quite honest, is I'm going to watch the Walker against Norchad Omir matchup. Because Norchad Omir, as we saw against Indiana, he was a monster down low. And he was a guy that really crashed the boards, especially on the offensive glass. What is Kelvin Sampson's bigs are going to try? What are they going to try to do to limit Omir from doing his damage down low?
I mean, the easy answer is boxing out, right? You know, trying to get a body on him, that's not always so easy, especially when you have such a dynamic rebounder like Omir. There's not many guys in the country who average double-digit rebounds, and Omir can do that. You're right, he was a beast against Indiana and was a big reason that they won that game, and a big reason that they won that game comfortably. He was outstanding. Really, really liked watching him play. And I know he hurt his ankle, too.
Yeah, I heard it in the Duke game. It was in the Duke game, yeah. First minute.
Yeah, we went back and watched some of that last night and, you know, felt, you know, bad for him. But then the way he's played, it doesn't look like it's really impacting him.
No.
So that's good.
No, he's just absolutely dominant.
Yeah, he's looked really good. I mean, the Cougars are going to put a body on him, and they're going to hope that, you know, being able to box him out is going to lead to him not being as effective on the glass. But I don't think that you're going to limit tons of his rebounds. You know, he's one of the best rebounders in the country. He's going to grab some rebounds against you. But the Cougars will be... Yeah, that will be a focus for them. That'll be a key for them, trying to limit him on the glass, especially on the offensive end. You know, the amount of offensive rebounds that Miami had against Indiana, and then the second chance points off of those offensive rebounds was, you know, something that's going to be critical Friday. You know, Cougars can't allow Miami to get 20 points on the second chance point.
Yeah,
that'll be a key.
Yeah, I looked at our set. We only had 9 in our first game against Drake, and like you said, 20 against IU. The thing we have to look, thing I look at when I watch Houston is Walker. Walker is going to be a lottery pick, maybe a top 5 pick in the draft. He's an amazing player. I've seen film of him, and wow, he is quite an amazing player.
Yeah, he's a really good prospect. He's playing. He does a little bit of everything. You know, he's not somebody who leads the Cougars in scoring. That's Sasher. You know, that's the All American. But he can score. He can knock down a shot. He can step behind the 3-point line and knock down a shot. Cougars, you know, they'll give the ball to him at times. He'll clean up an offensive rebound for a putback. You know, he'll be in the passing lane for a dunk. Really good defender, too. And with his size and with his speed, you know, it makes him a guy that can sometimes step out the perimeter and defend a guard. Even when a guard's able to beat him or get by him, he has really good ability to chase. There's a couple times in the Auburn game where he got, you know, switched up on a point guard. And the point guard would kind of beat him off the dribble, but then he couldn't get up the layup because Walker from behind just had so much size, you know, ability to catch up with his speed to block the shot. So He's a really dynamic defender. He's kind of a jack of all trades where he can do really a little bit of everything. And he's been fun to watch. It's been fun to watch him develop too. You know, as just a freshman, he's still got a lot of growing to do. His best basketball is still in front of him. It'll be really exciting to see what he does at the next level. And it's been exciting to watch his growth this season. But jack of all trades, he is an athletic specimen. He is a true one of the better college prospects heading into the NBA draft, as you mentioned.
Yeah, another thing I wanted to ask. I mean, another thing, I was looking at the health status of Sasser. Sasser had that groin injury, I think he had in the American Athletic Tournament, and also Sheed as well. What's the status of those? What's the status going into this game against Miami?
You know, I haven't heard anything else. I haven't heard anything after the game for Marcus Sasser or Jamal Shedd. You know, you mentioned the groin injury for Sasser, which he kind of slipped on a wet spot, as you mentioned, in the American Tournament in the semifinals, and did the splits. He kind of aggravated his groin. And
never fun.
Something that prevented him from playing in the championship game against Memphis. And then it cost him the second half of the Northern Kentucky game. Didn't re-aggravate the injury in Northern Kentucky, just kind of felt it. Mm-hmm. And so the Cougars made the decision, and he made the decision to sit out the second half. And, you know, Cougars were able to win that game, get on to the second round. And then you could tell in the pregame media session, I guess it would have been the day before, where he was meeting with the media, and he's like, yeah, I'm playing tomorrow. 100% I'm playing tomorrow. Now, he didn't mean he was 100%. He was just sure that he was going to play against Auburn. And his scoring was there. There were some moments defensively where you're like, okay, is he all there? Is he, 100%? Is this that lateral movement and quickness that you always see from Marcus? And it wasn't, but it's impossible to have that coming off a groin injury. Kind of gutted through in the second half, was better defensively in the second half. I think it was a big reason why the Cougars were so good defensively. It was because he was like, screw it. I'm going to go all out. And, I don't think he's 100%. No. I don't think he's close to 100%. No. But no. I imagine he's going to get better this week. Jamal Shedd looked good to me. Like, the knee's kind of been an ongoing issue, but nothing that's overly severe. Just kind of a nagging injury that he's had to play through. I thought he looked good. I think Cougars got a break in terms of the schedule. You know, they played a Thursday, Saturday. They maybe didn't catch a break playing Auburn and Birmingham.
Uh-huh. On the road, basically.
16, yeah, and maybe got the best 16 seed in the tournament. But I think they got a favor with the schedule, playing a Thursday, Saturday, to where now you're playing a Friday, Sunday. You get that extra day with a couple of, guards who are, having to go through some knocks right now. That might be a benefit for the Cougars.
Yeah, and I've compared this Houston team to Kansas last year, because the way they shut Auburn down in the second half, 50-23, I mean, it's amazing how much Kelvin Sampson makes those halftime adjustments. But we have guy in Jim Larranaga, too, that makes those adjustments. To me, I think that's going to come down to the coaching matchup with Sampson against Larranaga, the X's and O's. That's what it's going to come down to for me.
You got a lot of wins between those two, right?
Yes.
Kelvin Sampson has 732 wins. Larranaga has over 700 wins. It's got to be probably in this tournament, perhaps the most wins of a head coaching matchup that we'll see in this entire tournament. I don't know that off the top of my head, but I have a tough time thinking that you're going to have a head coach matchup with almost 1,500 wins combined between the two. So.
Wow.
You got a couple of legends. You got a couple of guys that, in my opinion, should be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Both of them are great coaches. Sampson's fun to be around because you just learn so much about the game. You learn so much about life.
Yes.
Just kind of listen to how he talks and how much he demands. Hey, go compete. There's work, and then there's hard work, and then there's competing. So it's fun to be around him. And I'm sure Larranaga is somebody who's had so much success in his career, has been to a Final Four. I imagine there are a lot of similarities. I've never been around Larranaga, so I don't know for sure, but I don't think you can get to over 700 wins and not know a whole lot about basketball and halftime adjustments and things like that. So two of the better college basketball coaches going head-to-head, too, on Friday. You're right.
Yeah, and I look at another thing. I look at that city. I was in Houston last year, and I could tell you, that city is ready for another final, for another championship. Can you imagine if Houston somehow beats Miami and wins against Texas or Xavier, how that city would be if Houston were in the Final Four at home?
Yeah, the team hasn't been looking at it like that. They've been, as you would expect, they're taking it one game at a time.
Same we do here.
Exactly. We worry about Northern Kentucky because they're the next opponent. We worry about Auburn because they're the next opponent. We worry about Miami when they're the next opponent.
Yes.
Final Four being in Houston hasn't come up
yet
within the inside of that team, from the inner workings of that team. But from the city's perspective, yeah. From the fan base's perspective, yeah. They have played the what-if game. You know, what if this does happen? How cool would this be? So from a fan perspective and from a city perspective, that is something that's a topic, that is a storyline. But Samson and his team have done a tremendous job of, hey, it's one game at a time. None of that matters.
Now,
we're focused on the immediate, the right now, yeah.
Yeah, and the same we're going with here. We're just enjoying the ride here. I mean, Larranaga's been here before. We went to the Elite Eight last year. But when I bring up the Kansas comparison, is I see how much they shut you down defensively. How Houston shuts you down defensively in second halves, especially against Auburn. In fact, Auburn, I want to give you the numbers that really stuck out to me, Jeremy, is Auburn from the line was shot just, are you ready for this? In the second half, I'm sorry, in the second, in the game, 53% from the field. 53% from the line. You're not going to win when you do that.
No, you're not. You got to be able to make your free throws. You know, there's a lot of Cougar fans have been critical at times of the Cougars at the free throw line too, and I don't think it's fair. I think if you look at the season averages for the Cougars, their free throws have been good. And if you want to have just contrast what Auburn did from the free throw line in that game on Saturday. Look what Houston did in the second half of the free throw line in that game. They were 18 of 18.
Yes, perfect.
They
didn't
miss a free throw in the second half. So, you know, a lot of these games are determined at the free throw line. There's been a lot of critics to Houston saying that, you know, free throw shooting is going to be to their detriment. In the Auburn game, it was the opposite. You know, Cougars hit all of their free throws. Auburn shooting, you know, the mid-50s.
You're not going to win that way.
Free throw line. No. You're not going to hit your free throws. You're right.
Not in March. In any time, but especially March. Three things win in March, Jeremy. Defense, free throw shooting, good guard play.
Yeah.
I think it's that, both teams have that. Another thing, before I let you go, when you look at Houston, when I look at this team, I say, hey, we know what Miami's up against. How is Samson prepared to face a team with speed that Miami brings?
Yeah, they played some teams that have been very athletic. If you want to go conference and then out of conference, you know, Memphis is a team that has tremendous speed. I think they have one of the better guards in the country, and Kendrick Davis, who is just, you know, that guy is incredibly fast, incredibly quick. Now, Miami has several of those guys. UCS, a very athletic team. Wichita State's a very athletic backcourt as well. So they've seen a lot of really athletic teams. Maybe nothing to what Miami has, but they've faced it. And then if you want to go to out of conference, you know, Alabama is a team that sticks out that has really phenomenal guard play. So the speed is something that, you know, certainly Miami has. Cougars maybe haven't seen the speed in terms of how many guys can do it for Miami. But the Cougars are a team, like you said, that rely on their defense. So I think they're going to be looking forward to the challenge of trying to shut down one of the better offenses in the country. Not shut down. You're never going to shut down Miami. But slow them down, probably the best way to say it. But they'll be looking forward to the challenge of what Miami can do offensively. I think it's a really good contrast of styles with Miami's offense, you know, Houston's defense. I think it's a couple of heavyweights going toe-to-toe.
Yay. Hey, listen, we're looking forward to the matchup Friday night, 7 o'clock. It'll be on CBS. Jim Nance, a Houston alum, by the way. Grant Hill and Bill Rafferty will be calling the game. Jeremy, thank you very much for taking the time to join me tonight. Enjoy the game Friday night. Safe travels to Kansas City.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.